nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in this very online and digital world. And today I'm bringing back my friend Sean Cronin. Last I brought him back was almost about 8-9 months ago, and he was making a transition from the church he was at, my church, to a new church in Buffalo. It's kind of a church plant. And one of the great things about what Sean has done in the time that I've known him and now in his time up in Buffalo with the Village Church is that he has a tendency to reach a younger generation. And this really ties in very well with student ministers, because oftentimes student ministers are in charge of the college and young adult program and in addition to their student ministry. And so this is a topic that we're going to talk about today with Sean, about how to use social gatherings, not social media, but social gatherings to grow a young adult program. So again, this is a very cool topic that we're talking about. Sean has had lots of success growing a ministry here and growing a ministry up in the Village Church about using social gatherings to grow his young adult group. And so we're going to really dig into that today, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to the student ministers out there who are overseeing not just a student program, but also the college and young adult program as well. So without any further ado, I'm really excited to bring back Sean Cronin. All right, with me right now is my friend Sean Cronin. Sean, how are you?
I'm well, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good. Where are you talking to me from? Where are you at right now?
I am talking to you from sunny Buffalo, New York.
Sunny? Okay, wait. Is it sunny and warm or sunny and cold?
It's sunny and cold today. It's supposed to warm up this weekend, though. I think it's supposed to be in the 50s by Sunday. So, yeah.
Spring is coming, man. Spring is coming. Okay, yes. So you were on the podcast a little bit ago, and as you were on the podcast, you were transitioning to a new job. And so now you've been at that job for about, 9 months to a year now. Give everyone an update on what are you doing and how are things going?
Okay. Yeah, I moved back to Buffalo in August to do an internship at a church called Village Church, a church that I helped start a few years ago. And so I've mainly been, my main responsibility has been overseeing the children's ministry. I preach about once a month, do some stuff with young adults. So we have a couple young adult small groups, do a little workout group once a week for young adults and anyone else who wants to join us, but it's pretty much all young adults. And so, Buffalo, it's where I'm from. So things are going well and trying to help the church. They're about 4.5 years old right now. So we've got about, averaging about 120 people on a Sunday in a really cool neighborhood in the city that didn't have much going on church-wise when we first started the church. And so, I would say it's some salt and light in a neighborhood that needs it. And I'm happy to kind of come and support what's going on and what we got started years ago. So things are going well.
That's great. Okay, so let's get into this a little bit right now, because you're a part of a church that is really I don't know Buffalo very well. Is Buffalo like inner city? I mean, would you say where you're located, inner city ministry?
Yeah, I mean it's inner city. Depending on what you mean by inner city, where we meet, kind of to that crossroads of neighborhoods.
Okay.
And when I say crossroads, it's almost like, if you know DC, it's almost like it's actually at a traffic circle. So it's kind of like DuPont Circle in a way.
Okay.
Where at one end you've got like a DuPont Circle neighborhood that's nice and, it's one of the desirable neighborhoods to live in. And then you got the west side and the lower west side of Buffalo, which is, not as desirable neighborhood to live in. A little lower class, a lot of people living below the poverty line there. And then on the other neighborhoods called Allentown, well, the two other neighborhoods are called Allentown and the Elmwood Village. And so Allentown's very artsy, and Elmwood is, you know, more of the Adams Morgan, if you know DC.
Yeah.
But it's the fun, you know, hip neighborhood. And then you have downtown, what city people would call downtown, like the business downtown, right, just a block south of Allentown. So we're right in the middle of like three different neighborhoods where many people live. And so it's very diverse socially and economically and even racially, ethnically. And so depending on, you know, what we're doing, you know, there's a school across the street from our church building that's, you know, an inner city school with, I would say the majority of the kids, pretty much everyone is probably living below the poverty line. So we are able to do a little outreach this winter and provided them with winter clothing that, you know, just overwhelmed the administration and the staff that they could have a church that was supporting them and providing their kids with winter clothing. And so that's, you know, that's right across the street basically from our church building. And so there's many different neighborhoods around, and we started in the Elmwood Village. We recently moved to this like kind of like the crossroads of all three of these neighborhoods, and so our primary target has kind of always been the Elmwood Village, and that's kind of why we're set up the way that we're set up. And I think we're going to talk about our ministry strategy and some of the things that we're doing to reach the Elmwood Village.
Yeah, and see, it seems like before we get into that, it seems like you're really centered into where you can reach a variety of different people. You're not just targeting, well, I mean, you probably are targeting a specific group, but you have the opportunity to reach a whole bunch of people where you're located.
Right. Yeah, we started from the beginning saying, hey, we're going to target a geography, not necessarily a particular group of people. So we've got, you know, these blocks in the city, you know, from 4th Street to North Street, from Richmond Avenue to Delaware Avenue. That's the Elmwood Village. That's where we're going to reach. And we were meeting on Sunday mornings right in a school building right in the center of that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now that our location has changed a little bit, you know, we're thinking hopefully the demographics of our church will change as we reach out to a couple of the different neighborhoods. But yeah, we really want to focus on a demographic, like the geography and whoever lives in the geography. And, you know, so far we've reached young white people. Because that's who the leadership of the church is, and it seems like that's who we attract. But we're trying to, like this Sunday, we're having an African American pastor, a friend of ours, who's a pastor from a church on the east side of Buffalo, which is an African American community. He's coming to preach, so we're trying to build relationships to, you know, hopefully encourage our church to, you know, be a little bit more diverse in who we are, what we look like.
Yeah, diversity is something we all strive for. I know that black churches strive to be diverse, and white churches mm-hmm. strive to be diverse as well. So, okay, well, you've had a good opportunity in that section of where you're at right now to reach a lot of young adults. And
yeah.
You kind of described it to me as you have almost like this party culture in your
right.
church. And when you said party culture, I'm like, man, this is awesome. I got to talk to him about this. So describe to me what you're talking about with this party culture and how you're reaching young adults by this culture that you've established.
Right. Well, I mean, since we're in the city, you know, there's a lot of young adults that, you know, they go to work. And then since they don't have families, you know, what are they looking to do? They're not looking to sit at home and be bored all night. So they're
like, dang, that's what I did all the time. I did something wrong. I knew I did something wrong.
You know, we want to get out and we want to have fun. And so, you know, Buffalo, like most cities, is filled with social activities. And so when we first started, we were like, hey, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Let's not try to, you know, start all these crazy, awesome events when our community is already getting together and having these social events. Let's be a part of those. And slowly but surely, as we, you know, kind of grew as a church, that DNA that we had of just getting together for social gatherings, like kind of like our community was already doing, became something that we did a little bit more intentionally. And so, we there's many people in our church that just love getting together for social gatherings. And it's a way for people, the young adults in our church, to invite their friends, invite their coworkers to a village function. That's not necessarily a village function, but in a way it is.
Yeah.
And so, for instance, you know, our neighborhood, the Elmwood Village, we sometimes say there's a lot of people in the Elmwood Village who are educated beyond their intelligence. So there's a lot of people who have advanced degrees. And since they took, a class one time in college that said the Bible's bogus, don't listen to it, they're kind of like, okay, that's good. Let's go on with our lives. And so, yeah. You know, they're not – like when you invite them to church, there's like, church is outdated. It's not relevant for me. But when you invite them to, a gathering, to a social event, to, whether it's the bear belly run, we're doing a bear belly run where we run down the street in Buffalo with no shirt on in the middle of winter, and we raise money for a youth soccer league. People are like, oh, that sounds good. I want to be a part of that.
How do women participate in that, though?
Right. Well, it's called the bear belly. It's called the bear belly run.
Okay.
So, as long as your belly is bare, belly is bare, you're good.
Okay, good.
But events like that, we have like other events like called the Reading Invasion, where an English teacher at our church just invites all his, all the people in his connection, group to a specific public place. And it's like a flash mob, but we just read for an hour. And so just all these events where all of a sudden you're getting to know people at Village. And so when people are like, so how do you guys know each other? We say, oh, we're part of Village Church. And then, we build relationships with people. And the goal is to not just talk about Jesus, but to demonstrate Jesus to one another, to love each other, to forgive one another. And when we hope that when people see the relationships that we have with one another, then that's attractive. And, and some people, have come to Village just because of that, because they've seen the community that we have. And they say, Buffalo isn't a booming city, but a lot of young people are coming to Buffalo because the medical campus downtown is growing. So people in the medical field and people that work for M&T has their headquarters here. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a bunch of young adults that work at M&T who are just, meeting all these people, all these young adults that are coming from all over the country, moving to Buffalo to work at M&T. And they say, hey, you don't know anybody. You should come to the social gathering that we have. It'll be fun. And they come and they're like, oh, you guys are like a church. Like, I should maybe check that out because I don't have any friends. And this would be awesome if I could get some friends in this new city. So we're going to set up those kind of things.
This leads me to a few different questions of how many social events do you have per month? Like, or how do you space them out?
Right. Well, honestly, a lot of the social events that we have, I would say maybe one official church function a month would probably be on average. But a lot of it is kind of just built into the DNA of who we are. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is not necessarily like the church organizes it, but people within the church are kind of like, hey, I'm doing this thing. And the church either gets behind it or it's just a part of it because it's something that someone at our church is doing.
Yeah.
So it's probably, like two or three a month, I would say. Cool. And some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller. Tonight, my friends, Caleb and Caroline, they're singer songwriters. They, lead worship occasionally at our church. They have a concert tonight. And so, they're just inviting a lot of people out to their concert. So there'll be a lot of Village folks there, but it's also an opportunity for people to invite their coworkers. Say, hey, there's this new venue downtown that was just opened up. My friends Caleb and Caroline are playing tonight. We should all go together. And so I'm going to that, and we'll hopefully meet some new people. And we have a soccer team like during the summer. That was kind of one of those things where it just started as a guy who wasn't even connected to the church at the time was a captain. But then like one by one, like a few people from Village started playing on it until eventually it became like the Village church soccer team because like everyone was either going to the Village or like was friends with somebody at Village. So in a way it was almost like the mustard seed. It's like, just start small and it'll spread through different, social venues and groups.
Yeah, it seems like, as you said, a party culture, it really seems like you've kind of formed a little like social club of sorts.
Right.
Indirectly. I mean, it's not necessarily the Village social club, but it's just you've got all these social things for young adults to do. And what a great way to attract people to your church ultimately.
Right. It's working right now. And it's certainly part of the strategy of our church, and our strategy will continue to develop. But right now, that's something that I guess is working for us.
Yeah. Well, and back to the beer belly, not beer belly, yeah. Bear belly.
Bear belly.
The beer belly. That, I mean, that could work. But yeah. I like how you have it that you're raising funds and it's going to something else. It's not saying, hey, it's going to the village church, but you're right. Really using it to build those relationships within the community. I think that's really awesome.
Right. Yeah. Like Westside International Soccer is an organization that reaches out to refugee youth in the neighborhood. So, you know, a lot of these kids, they're going to be targeted to, you know, join gangs. Or, you know, if they're not, or we can target them to play soccer and to use their athleticism to, you know, play soccer. And mm-hmm. So they're coming from all over the place. And Westside International Soccer is able to coach them and put them in teams, get them into leagues. And so, like my friend Graham, who's actually one of my roommates, and he's the leader, he's on the leadership team at our church. He's been volunteering with the league for a few years now since the beginning. And some other guys from the church are also coaches. And so they said, hey, this is an opportunity. We can do something and kind of leverage the community that we have at the church to be a part of a fundraiser to help Westside International Soccer. And even though they're not a Christian organization, we see that they're doing a good thing for the kids in our neighborhood. And so it's like it's a win-win where we get to support Westside International Soccer, but then also people who might be suspicious of church and what we're about. And maybe if people think, oh, you guys are all about money, you're all about you know, this or that, we can say, no, like we're about doing good things for our community, like Westside International Soccer, and we want to support them. And so come and be a part of this activity, have some fun, and we'll all raise some money and support this worthy cause together, working for the common good.
See, that's awesome. That is great how you're utilizing that kind of stuff. Well, let me ask you this, because again, now, you know, my main job is technology and using social media and all that kind of stuff. How are you guys utilizing technology to kind of help reach young adults?
That is something that we struggle with right now. Like we are working on it. We luckily have one guy right now who's building a website for us, because we have a regular website, but you know, he looked at it and was like, oh, we could make this so much better. Let me do it. I'll build it from scratch. So he's building a website for us. We're transferring our content over to it right now. And so he's pretty big in the social media world in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So he has like his own website. He's, you know, website designer, has this blog called Yeah Buffalo, where he highlights different entrepreneurs or different people, social activists that are doing cool things in Buffalo. And so he's bringing his talents from that realm to help our church become a little bit more visible online. His wife's a photographer who is now kind of spearheading our Instagram account and I think our Twitter account, because those three things have been stuff we've pretty much very much underutilized. And we've done a few things. We have a Facebook, you know, page, and you know, so a few people are able to know about things that are going on with our church via Facebook. We're not, you know, doing a ton with that stuff now. We're kind of in the process of building a strategy so that we can be more visible online. But it was interesting though. So one of the parties that we did, you know, social gatherings that we wanted to invite our friends to, was we had a Super Bowl party, and we put it on our website and we put it on our Facebook page, and some people showed up that I was like, I have no idea who these people are.
Yeah.
And they don't seem like they really like know anybody else. So it's like, seems like they just showed up, and I was like, how did you hear about us? They're like, oh, we just Googled Super Bowl party and church and you guys came up. And I was like, what? I was like,
that is awesome.
So I was like, all right, I guess Google's doing something for us.
yeah.
So yeah, we're trying to figure that out as to how we can have more of an online presence, you know, and reach out. But you know, right now, since Buffalo is such a small city, it's very easy to get around. Like we've been able to kind of, you know. Especially in the summer, like in the summer, you just walk down the street and you're going to see, you know, 10 people that you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of the good things that we've been able to take advantage of is not having to connect with people online, but actually in person because you live in the same neighborhood and you're always, you know, going to the same shops, you're going to the same coffee house, you're going to same concerts and all these things, and events that are going on in the city. But we're trying to do a little better job with our Instagram, Facebook, and website.
Well, no, and I think all of us can do better jobs at that, including us. But yeah. I liked what you did here, though, is that you guys didn't just hire somebody to go do it. You guys actually have people who are willing to step up and volunteer and serve. And so if people don't have, like, you know, a social media presence or an online presence, there are people likely that you know that are really good at Instagram. I am terrible at Instagram. However, I've been getting better about posting it, but I actually found someone who is actually really good at it, and they're going to come and help us out a little bit. And it's a volunteer position. It's a way for them to serve the church, and it's a much needed thing again. But I also liked how you said this too, is, you know, I think sometimes we can get so focused on online and think that's the way to reach people, when simply you can just keep on walking. Like, you go to the same coffee shop every single day, you're going to run into the same people every single day almost. And it's a great way to network face to face rather than just, oh, I got to be online and do this and do that. So I think that's really great.
Yeah.
All right, Sean. Well, that's about wraps it up for us. I think this was a very fun conversation to have, because you're a young guy and you're always on the forefront of trying to do different things. So I think that's awesome. Any last minute thoughts that you would like to share about your young adult and what you guys are doing there at the Village?
Right. I mean, I would just say, you know, listen to your community is a big thing, and understand that what one church does in one area, you know, isn't necessarily going to work in your area. And so, you know, we're trying to listen to our community and trying to, I guess, contextualize the gospel, you know, and be able to reach, you know, young adults. So, you know, I do a Saturday morning workout group because, you know, young adults like to work out. They like the social connection. It's not very fun to work out by yourself. Yeah. So, hey, let's get together and work out. We'll have some fun. And, you know, it's a non-threatening environment. I'm not going to kill them. I'm not going to force them to do, like, you know.
Wait, man. I've seen your workouts before, though, man. I die on your workouts. But
I tell everybody they get to work at their own pace.
Yeah.
That, you know, push yourself, work at your own pace. If I have a really good relationship with them and I know they want to get in better shape, then I'll push them a little harder.
Yeah.
But especially for new people, I'm just like, hey, you know, just let's ease our way back into this whole fitness thing and go at your own pace, have some fun. But it's, you know, it's something that I had to listen to my community for that. That's a good example, because I was doing it at 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings because, you know, in Northern Virginia, it was at 8. And I was like, you know, Buffalo's not that lazy. Like, we could do it at 9. But then I was doing it at 9 and, like, no one was coming. So people were like, dude, you should do it at 10. And so we did it at 10 and, like, numbers, like, doubled. So I was like, all right, you know, lesson learned. You know, even if you're a morning person, that doesn't mean everybody else is a morning person, Sean. Yeah. You're with young adults. They want to sleep in. They don't have kids. They want to, you know, sleep in. This is their opportunity to sleep in. Just do it at 10. And so listen to your community.
Dude, that's a great last point to have, because it is – you're so right. Listen to the community. You can have the best idea in the world, but if it doesn't meet the needs of your community, it's not going to be effective. So
yep.
That's awesome. Hey, Sean, dude, this was awesome. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm definitely going to have you back on sooner rather than later. So thanks a lot for joining me today, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Sean. And again, I love social media. I love technology. I love all there is to do about with this online presence. And when you think of young people, you immediately think, how can I use social media? How can I get on the web and post something? How can I use Google Grants or Google Ads to reach and target this social media generation of young adults? And what Sean has done is he's bypassed that. He uses good old school face-to-face networking with people. He'll create an event. He'll do something. He has no problem going to new places, meeting new people and networking, and really kind of using that as an opportunity to reach young adults. I remember one time that he just went into D.C. when he was here and just walked from one place to another, just meeting people along the way on his way to a D.C. United soccer game. So it's really cool, and Sean's got a lot of wisdom when it comes to utilizing these social gatherings to grow your young adult programming. So I'm really glad that he was here, and you can kind of hit him up on Twitter. I've got his Twitter link in my show notes. So you can hit him up there and chat with him about how you can reach the young adults using social gatherings. But I would also love to hear from you. You can hit me up at TA Pounder or at YM Sidekick on Twitter and share with me, what are you doing to reach young adults other than using social media, other than using technology? How are you using things like social gatherings to reach and grow your young adult ministry at your church? Please share that with me. I'd love to hear that from you. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes. I've got fresh interviews every Wednesday at this time, so definitely sign up and subscribe to this and rate me. If you enjoyed it, say, hey, this was a pretty cool podcast. I enjoyed it. Rate me. I'd love for you to do that as well. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me again today, and I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you next week.